Well, welcome to Rebel Storytellers Podcast, episode 006. That's seis in Spanish.
Yes.
We're very excited. We have new microphones.
We do. Do we sound better?
I think we sound better. True story, we learned this past week that we were speaking into the wrong end of the microphones.
Should we tell people that?
For the past 5 weeks.
It's hard to speak into the wrong end of a microphone.
But we did it.
It takes a special talent to do that. So if our voices sound much better, that's why.
You sound better to me already.
Thank you.
Well, Rebel Storytellers is a community of thought leaders, thinkers, writers, motivators, and performers devoted to sparking hope and action in the world through a daily blog, this podcast, and live events in Cincinnati and eventually beyond.
If you guys check out rebelstorytellers.com in the month of December, we have a four-letter word that we're doing, G-I-F-T, that's gift. All of our storytellers are writing posts, poetry, essays, memoirs around that four-letter word. And so obviously a lot of holiday posts going on right now. If you check us out at rebelstorytellers.com, every single weekday there's a new one posted. And you get all kinds of stuff over there, events. This podcast is up there, which you already know if you're listening to it probably. So check us out at rebelstorytellers.com in December for gift. And in January, we will have a new four-letter word.
So let's just jump straight into this episode because we had a fascinating conversation with the gang talking about Santa Claus. And we thought it would just be sort of a fun, silly conversation about when you found out Santa Claus wasn't real. But it turned pretty serious and it got kind of turned into a very cool conversation. So I figured we'd just jump straight in and listen to it.
So I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm a bit obsessive. I obsess over things, and that started at a very early age. Probably the first thing I obsessed over was whether or not Santa Claus was actually real or not. So while other kids were just opening up presents and enjoying the fruits of their imaginary friend, I was investigating Santa Claus. And I'm not kidding. One year I set out a tape recorder because I wanted to record Santa Claus. And you know, this was like 1980-something, so it was just like this...
How old are you?
Probably 7-ish, 8-ish. And so I set out this tape recorder, and I figured I would hear Santa Claus or not, and that would be proof. And so in the middle of the night, my dad and my brother got up, and they went out to the tape recorder, and they recorded themselves saying, ho, 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 and then they would eat the cookies. And so the next morning, I got up, and I played the recording, and I heard Santa Claus say, ho, 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 and that was Exhibit 1 in my case that Santa Claus was real. Number two was I had this old book that had a bunch of Christmas stories, and I found the Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus story in there, and I read it, and I thought I had found this hidden gem of proof that Santa Claus was actually real. And so I had this second piece of evidence that Santa Claus was actually real. And so one day, I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, I gotta know. I have this recording of Santa Claus. I read this, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus story. I can't sleep. I've got to know, is Santa Claus real? And I remember standing in our hallway, putting on our coats on our way out the door, and my mom turning to me and saying, there is no Santa Claus. And that's my story.
What happened then?
Yeah, did you cry?
I think I was just glad to know, because I really liked knowing things for sure. It's sort of like the whole God question. Part of the reason why my brain explodes on a daily basis is because you can't know for sure. And so I think I would be okay if there was no God, and I think I'd be okay if there was a God. I just really want to know so I can go on with my life. And Santa Claus sort of mirrored that for me. It was like, as long as I knew, I could just sort of move forward.
So serious question, because right now Henry is 3, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the Santa Claus thing. And it's been a concern of mine that you're trying to teach him about God and Santa, and you've pressured us pretty hard that we have to do the Santa is real pretend game.
Right.
So you still think that's okay to...
Oh, yeah. But it hasn't...
Because, let me just say this, I feel like that moment clearly has turned you into a crazy person.
No, I was crazy long before that. I mean, I was the child setting out a tape recorder trying to hear if Santa Claus was there. So I was already crazy. What I've pressured you guys about is that Santa's fun. Like, it's like kids like it. It's fun.
It sounds stressful for you as a 7-year-old.
Right, but the issue was the older I got, the more the doubt started to creep in, and so I just wanted an answer to the mystery. Whereas if you're a little kid, you don't really care. But the whole God thing is different. It's just a different realm.
Yeah.
Of, it's not like I distrust my parents now.
So this is interesting, what Steve's saying, because I have a somewhat similar story. I was about 8 years old. We had just started going to church as a family as well. And what occurred to me is if all the church stuff was true, then Santa Claus was taking a lot of the glory from the whole Jesus thing, and it seemed weird. And I believed everything, and then I was laying in bed on Christmas Eve, couldn't sleep because it was Christmas Eve, and my mom came in to check on me, and I think she lay beside me, and I remember just knowing it was all a lie in that moment. And my first thought was, it's going to break her heart when I tell her, because I was a pretty deep kid. And I didn't want my parents to be sad, because they'd basically been lying to me, and I didn't want to feel guilty about it. And I said, Mom, I know there's not a Santa Claus. And she's like, oh, we kind of thought you knew or something like that. And that was the end of it. She may not even remember that. And then when she left the room, I just remember thinking, and there's probably not a God either. And that was like, because to me they were the same. They were both magic.
Right.
And so I say I'm a Christian agnostic because I've never, that was the pinpoint moment I would say in my life when I doubted God, the existence of God.
Was it related to Santa Claus, or you just sort of had these two epiphanies in the same arena?
I think it was the like philosophical term is material. I might be a materialist, so that doesn't mean I like money. It means like questioning supernatural things. And so to me, like supernatural God and supernatural Santa Claus were exactly, they were the same. I mean, Santa Claus was God, right? He saw everything. He gave you gifts if you were good. He basically punished you if you were bad.
He was fat and white.
Exactly. And old.
And old.
So
red.
It's for me at that age, it was a much clearer conclusion. If there's no Santa Claus, there's no God, versus thinking if there's no Santa Claus, there must be a God. That logic didn't make any sense at all. So I never told my kids about Santa Claus because of that. But I never told them not to believe. So some of our relatives would do it. And they every time they asked me about Santa Claus, I would say, what do you think? And I would say really early on, both of them, because we never pushed it. They would have gifts that would appear Sunday morning. And also, I didn't want to spend $100 on a gift and give Santa the credit. So they probably didn't believe by the time they were five, and we just had to be careful. Like, don't tell your cousins, you know, because they still believe. But
so your kids were 5 years old, and they didn't believe five, in Santa Claus?
Well, because we never talked about it. But that was about the age I think they both were like, it's not real, right? And I'm like, no, it's not real, but because I'm a nerd, I told them about St. Nicholas, who is real. And I told them about the Christian saint it was based on.
They probably love that.
Yeah, they probably didn't.
But
I don't feel like I robbed them of anything. So I actually feel really, I have a lot of empathy for kids when they believe, especially if they're like a little too old. It makes me feel super, super, I don't know, like uncomfortable. When like a 10-year-old kid still believes in Santa Claus, I'm like, you're gonna feel so dumb next year. When you know what I mean?
But isn't there like a magic about Santa Claus that I think almost sort of transfers over into religion, where like we all desperately want to believe in these sort of magical, mystical things, and that magic of Santa helps us be open to God or faith or magic in the universe?
Sure. Do you believe in magic in the universe?
Magic's a loaded word, but something beyond myself, something mystical, something other than. And I think the magic of Christmas, the magic of Santa, I think begins that journey for a lot of kids.
Well, that just happened like literally this week. Leah bought that Elf on the Shelf thing, which we kind of fought for a while, and then it just happened, and then we woke up, and it was like, where's this elf? And then she said, oh, and then tonight we're reading the Advent story, and we're going to talk about the Christmas thing. I was just like, whoa, like that feels like a lot for a 3-year-old to handle. You got this whole elf flying away to North Pole thing plus the Christmas story, and it just was the first time that I had to actually deal with that complex.
I think growing up for myself, it was always kind of separate. I never associated questions of God and Santa. It was always a question of, I had next door neighbor came over and she's like, I just got to tell you something, Santa's not real. So I go over to her house and she's going to prove it to me. So she takes me to her parents' bedroom and she shows me their closet and there's all the toys. And you're like, how do you explain all these toys that she's going to get? Because these are all the things that she asked for. So then I start go back to my house and I start looking when my mom is not around. And sure enough, I find all the toys I've been asking for. And the thing that goes through my mind is not that like the magic of Christmas was gone. It was like, I'm not going to get toys if I believe she's going to take these back. So for like the next couple of years, I just played along until she really probably knew. And I was just like, got to play along that Santa exists because if I don't, I won't get toys. Until she finally's like, okay, Santa doesn't exist. I'm like, yeah. And she thought it was going to crush me, and it didn't crush me because I'd already known and been playing the ruse up. Because, you know, our next door neighbor, we'd all were like, yeah, you got to keep this going on. You know, they got to keep this voodoo going on that we all believe. So at a certain point, it was just a game. And I think, you know, growing up Catholic had a lot of very traditional type of liturgical things that happen around Christmas, Advent calendar and things like that. So they were kind of compartmentalized, but they were very, it's all the things I kind of rejected when I became a Christian, and I thought rejecting all these things from being Catholic, but there are these symbols and these things growing up that were really awesome. Nativity, Advent calendar, you know, all the different candles that you would light. It was a marking of the time. So for me, looking back at Christmas, it's very vivid. And I can almost remember every week going up to Christmas.
That was the deepest, perhaps accidental analogy I've ever heard of like playing along in order to get the stuff and thinking about how many people play along with like faith or religion in order to get the good stuff that comes along with that.
Yeah, and I think sometimes isn't it like, I won't say bad parenting, but sometimes parents get into the point of like, I've done it too, we use the elf on the shelf, hey, he's watching you, or Santa's watching you, or God's watching you. You get to the point where it's like, oh, because I don't want to be the person who's disciplining you, I threaten you with someone else. I threaten you with a mystical being. Right. So, and that's, I think that's where it kind of gets weird, right? That's where it's, so it's all, you know, punishment, or you're going to get good things if you do these things. And it's all about reward and punishment beyond Christmas a lot of times.
And Joe, you know, you wrote a fiction book at one point that mm-hmm. was sort of this fantasy. So, like, what's the difference between a child being read a children's book, which is obviously fake and fiction, but as a child, you believe those books, or at least there's a place in your mind where that's reality to you, that someday you realize, oh, there's not really a little worm riding around in a car.
You thought there were real worms riding around in cars?
Yes, little apple cars. But, you know, it's like there's fiction, and children are exposed to fiction, and it's not a lie when you read your child a fiction book. So if Santa Claus is fiction...
When you have the sort of child to be aware to ask, or maybe they're afraid to ask, is this real? I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, we sound very similar, but I think we're different kind of kids when we were little. Some kids just want to have fun. They don't probably think this much, but like I was way into Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and I didn't really think, sorry, Mark, I don't think those.
What? I don't want to have this conversation right now.
But I love those things. I think I said this on our Genesis show deal. Like, to me, Star Wars is true. It just never happened. And you have to get to a philosophical place to parse that out. But I don't know if the best route is always to make people believe in literal things. I guess I question, there's some psychology behind this, at what age your brain can handle figurative stuff. But once you get past that, I guess I'm of a mindset with my kids, once they got to that level, when you noticed that they could tell the difference between figurative and literal stuff, I always felt super creepy pretending like figurative stuff was literal. And that's what freaks me out about the Santa Claus thing. And from the faith stuff, I wouldn't have a problem at all if two parents genuinely believed there was some fat guy in the North Pole bringing people presents. Then they should teach their kids that's what they believe. But I don't like it when adults don't believe in the myth and then tell it to their kids. So I don't know. That's my thing.
So the difference for you is if the child has awareness and asks a question like yours did, is this real? You would feel awkward lying at that point. Versus...
I couldn't lie. If they actually point blank asked me,
right?
I'm just not... Because, like I said, this is a weird topic to have, but that was the moment my whole faith journey started. So I'm not going to, like... There's no way I could go against that.
What's kind of weird, though, too, is that we've never lied to the... We've kept up the ruse of Santa, but we've not... They've not asked us, is Santa real? Then I think I would have to have that conversation, because I also don't want, you know, Noelle's getting to the age, she's 7, she's getting, once she starts questioning it, I don't want her to be made fun of. I don't want her to be that person in school that goes, so how did you not know that Santa was, you know, existed? But if she had to ask me, I would say, yeah. And then if I got the gist that the gig's up, I think I would. But for me, I think, especially having those rituals and traditions growing up, it's just something fun. And I know what she's going to do. She's going to then want to be part of the magic for Elijah when he gets, you know, but he's not old enough to question it yet. But
yeah, I think that I kind of fall, I think, like kind of in the middle of all of this, where when I found out that there wasn't a Santa, it didn't terribly disappoint me. And I didn't think about sort of the conflict of faith and the idea of God. But then as I got older, as like a young teenager, I started thinking about it more and going, wait a second. You know, what if some kid is going to make the connection that Joe made when he was a kid? Like, oh, so does, if there's no Santa Claus, does that mean that this whole God Jesus thing is fake as well, and that it's totally bogus, and am I being lied to about that? So then I started getting concerned about, like, okay, when I have kids, like, how do I want to handle this? Because I don't want them to think that, even though I didn't think that, it was like an afterthought years later. But then I think, you know, something, Mark, that you're saying with Noelle is that you think she probably would enjoy helping create some of that magic for your son and having fun with that and getting involved with that part of it. And so what my mom told us, like when we would question, I think she didn't really push it either. She let us believe. And then when we asked, she said, what do you think? And then you had to get to the point where you were willing to own the fact that you didn't think that there was a Santa Claus.
Right.
But then at that point, she explained, well, it's a way for all of us to be Santa Claus, like to give gifts and to love people that way. And so it's a fun game that we can all be a Santa Claus and give somebody something nice instead of keeping it for ourselves. And so, you know, from a young age, my sisters and I would get really excited about giving gifts almost as much as we were excited to give the gifts. And so I can see that mixture of the tension of that conflict between God and Santa Claus, but then also if you navigate in a certain way, the idea of the literal magic can transition into a figurative magic that can be used to, you know, for fun and to help people or love people in some way.
Yeah, the question, Brad, is do you want your children to grow up to be like Joe?
No.
Or do you want your children to grow up to be like me?
Ooh, boy.
There's your question.
That's a tough call.
It's not. Think about it.
Would you rather Hank be Joe or me?
I'm going to pick...
Isaac,
for sure.
I don't think believing in Santa led me to question God. I think I apply the same logic to God as I do to Santa Claus. And so as a kid, it was, come on, there's this guy who lives in the North Pole, rides around on a sleigh, somehow visits every house. Like, logically, it just didn't add up. So when I apply that same logic that's always been in my brain to God, I say, come on, there's this God that sits up in a cloud. And I realize a lot of people wouldn't say that, but... And he knows everyone's thoughts, and he knows everything that's going to happen in the future. It's just like, come on, that's not... But it's not... Believing in Santa didn't lead me there. It was my brain that caused me to question Santa. It's the same brain that causes me to question God.
So, serious question. Do you have a serious... Can I go first?
Yes, you can go first.
In a way, was your church experiment like the adult version of you putting out a recorder to see if God was real? Like, for those of you that don't know, Steve went to a different church every single weekend for an entire year called the Church Experiment. Churchexperiment.com?
Blew my mind, Brad.
Is that the same thing? Like, do you think you were searching to? Were you searching then to find out if?
Yeah, I mean, I think at my core, I probably should have been like a detective because I just like investigating things. People fascinate me. Mysteries fascinate me. And so Santa Claus was a mystery, and I figured it out, and that was good. And God is a mystery, and I can't figure it out. And so my instinct then is to just not think about it anymore. Because if I do, my head will explode. So if I just go off and do something else. So the church experiment was probably part of the detective work. And when there's no answer at the end of that, it's like there's no answer to this. And so unsolvable mysteries are awful for me.
Here's the thing. The same people that taught you about Santa Claus probably taught you about God. So you have reason to doubt them. They lied to you. So how do you... I remember when I was like 12, 13, thinking that. I'm like, wait a second. These same people. These are the same people. Like, why should I trust them with all this magic stuff? As I've grown through my faith, I am not an atheist. I'm a Christian. Jesus was a historical figure. It's easy for me to believe in Jesus. And I believe in God, but that what that phrase means to me is has morphed through my life dramatically. And what I find is a lot of religion can be the parents' role in the Santa Claus illusion. So you are creating a mystery that's not really there sometimes. Right? Isn't that what religion does?
My head's going to explode.
I know. It was deep. So. Was there a point, though? I mean, I felt like growing up, there was a point where I could look across the table and realize that, not that I knew as much as my parents, but there was things that I knew that they didn't know now. And there was, you know what I mean? It's like, at this point, you feel like they're the answer for everything. They give you your answer. You go to them for that information. At a certain point in your teenage years, you realize they don't know everything. They don't have all the answers, and you have to go on that quest yourself. My mom gave me a bit of wisdom, like, well, you know, if you go to bed while you're eating something, it just sits there. It's like, so I said that to some like teacher, like, well, it just sits there, and they're like, no, that's not right. I'm like, but my mom always told me that, you know. And then you realize, oh, they don't know everything. They're just telling you things to get you through it, and I now have to like start feeding myself. I have to go after this knowledge.
But a lot of parents are still the kid. I hate to go back to the analogy. So you're questioning things they don't question, or they don't admit they question, because they still believe in, if we keep the analogy going.
Right. I think so. My parents, being boomers, were taught in a Catholic, brought up German, not to question things. So every time I would bring up certain things of why they do what they do in the Catholic religion, they couldn't give me a good explanation because they were really taught not to question things.
So, Brad, after hearing all that, are you raising your children to believe in Santa Claus or not? Answer, please.
Man. I don't know. Like, as we're all talking, I was like, are we overcomplicating it? Or is it a serious thing? And I think I'm just left with complete confusion still. What we decided with the elf thing, because... I think you asked the question, Steve. Joe, you believed in fiction. Was that okay? Like, Henry goes off into creative worlds where, like, he's Wally for a week. And I'm like...
That's awesome.
Like, Leah is Eva, and I'm Bernie from another Pixar short, right? Like, and it just lasts for an entire week. Like, he will not refer to you as anything else. And we play along, and I love it. I celebrate it like it's his imagination. But for whatever reason, the Santa Claus... an elf on the shelf thing instantly felt different, and I've been trying to analyze why that is. And I think where we've landed is we're just going to treat it as a game, and this elf flies around the house and ends up at a different place, and we're not going to make a big deal out of what, but it's just a fun, it's as real as Wally and Eva and all those other things. You know, where it goes from there, who knows? He's only 3, and I've only been a parent for that many years.
Obviously, a lot of great people have lived in human history having believed in a literal Santa Claus. So,
Fuller.
That's one. Me. I wouldn't want the stuff I have said to... I'm not at all evangelical about getting people to not believe in Santa Claus.
It's okay, in your opinion.
It's okay. I really think it's about the temperament of your kid, and you got to watch like a very serious kid who you can tell early on is going to ask the big questions of life, I would just be more careful with that sort of kid. And I would almost say, if you're going to then talk about God and you believe that, and you believe in God, then I would say, you know, after the game, we're going to have serious time now or something to differentiate that, because kids like that, maybe only be 10% of the population or something, but they're gonna marry those ideas because they're smart and they, it's the same sort of idea.
Well, the crazy thing with the doing the Advent stuff at the same time as the Christmas stuff, last night the story was the Noah story. And you have to tell the Noah story to this 3-year-old. And like Lee and I last night were having a glass of wine and talking about, this is tough stuff. Like, how do you tell a 3-year-old, oh, guess what? God killed everyone and all of the animals, except for this one family and two of each, like...
And two elves.
And two elves.
Most of the books leave that out, right?
I mean, well, this Advent thing that we were doing, it takes you through, it's like the Tree of Jesse or something. It takes you through the entire Bible. Like 2 days ago, where I had to talk about the magical talking snake. I don't know. It's just, it's way more complicated than...
So how do you frame that? Do you believe the Noah story and the magical talking snake? And do you frame that as this is fiction or...
I think that's very normal to avoid stories like that that are supposed to be foundational to our faith, but to then jump full on into these cultural myths. I get that. Like, I would be more comfortable doing that too. Yeah. I just think that's an interesting...
Well, it's probably because it doesn't feel like there's any pressure. If you get this elf thing wrong, who cares? Right. If you get this Noah story wrong, that feels like a big deal.
Well, if they're really literal elves, then you don't want to get that wrong.
I know. It's all so confusing.
Were there elves in the Bible? Is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah. There was a gang of 12 of them.
What book is that in?
They followed Jesus around.
First Buddy.
Similarly.
First Buddy. They were the...
Oh, that's right. First Buddy, chapter 4.
Apostles on the shelf.
And behold, there were elves.
Hey, look, it's Peter. Peter's on the shelf. He's watching you. The Rock is watching you.
We can.
You guys want to make up something?
Let's
make up
a made that.
We could sell the crap out of
Peter on the shelf.
On the shelf. That's another idea.
Peter on the shelf.
It's for Easter, though.
So that was... That was an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I just think the whole Santa thing is really fascinating because you have lots of different angles of that conversation and how it relates to our image of God. And hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit more in the future because I think there's a lot of layers there still left to be undiscovered.
Yeah. So that's it for this week's podcast. We're still doing the deal where you email us in your favorite gift story or maybe even your worst gift story. But just tell us a story. Email us at storytellers@rebelpilgrim.com. And we're going to pick the best one, and we're going to give a bag full of swag. That's DVDs and a T-shirt, perhaps, maybe even a sticker.
Yeah.
If we have pencils laying around the office.
We don't.
We don't. Nope. We are.
No pencils.
No pencils. We're digital all the time. But yeah, we have a bag full of swag waiting for you, and we might even read your story over the airwaves. Steve?
Brad?
Anything else to add to this podcast?
I would just like to wish everyone a lovely December 7th. And
what if they're listening to this like in the future? Like, they stumble upon this podcast and they're just like...
To wish everyone a lovely April 14th.
Wow.
And enjoy the sunshine. It's a gorgeous spring day out there today.
I love it out there. And
should we film one of those for every day?
We just keep doing it.
I'd like to wish everyone a lovely April 15th. Little rainy. But tomorrow's forecast is way better.
We'll have to buy a farmer's almanac to know what the weather is for every day.
You can just guess. A lovely July 11th. Boy, it's hot.
Boy, it's steamy today.
Wear your sunscreen.
The barometer is off the charts.
I don't know what a barometer is.
It measures... pressure.
Oh, okay.
That's it. We'll see you next week.
See you.